It is June 6th. Good to see everybody. Welcome to the 208 Fantasy Football Show. We've got NFL news. We've got NFC North breakdown, players you want, players you don't want. We're talking about it. It's going to get crazy. Let's have some fun. Let's start it right now. Sorry, NFC North. I apologize. We are the AFC North, right? AFC North.
We got it
locked in.
I know you're excited to talk about the Bears, dude. Matt was ready to talk about the Bears right away.
Hey, there's only one North division to aim, and it's the one with the Bears in it.
That's right. Let's go, Williams. Please don't prove me wrong. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Good.
Chance brought me over to the farm to wrangle up some cows, and my daughter was being a menace. Wouldn't get out of the way, but she loves being around Chance because Chance just shows all the animals. So.
Uncle Chance doing showing all the
She got to see baby pigs, baby kittens. She got to see calves.
Yeah, perfect. That's how we roll in the 208, right? That is just how it works.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think I owe Lineberry a hat now. He's officially a all hat, no cattle kind of guy. He works.
I wore the wrong shoes. I wore like my nice white Nikes. I was like, this was the wrong.
Whoops. Whoops.
Yeah.
Well, shoot. Well, let's get into it, fellas. Let's get an NFL news. What's going on? Chance, what do you got for us?
Yeah, so I think the biggest news for the week, there were two major contracts that were signed, and they both have pretty big fantasy implications. The first one was Justin Jefferson's contract. He signed a four-year, $140 million contract. So $110 million of that is guaranteed, and it makes him the highest paid, not only receiver, but the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. So he surpassed Bosa, who was getting $34 million a year. And Jefferson's now getting $35 million a year. Not a bad bag.
No, that's great. I'm glad he went and got his money. It just opens up more questions for others. You know, we've brought up Ayuk a little bit. I think 49ers are going to let him play his fifth year, the more and more it looks like it. I don't think they're going to trade him, let him just play it out. Good for him. Maybe he can get a bag this year. He'll certainly get that next year if he plays well. And then the next question is Lamb. What's Dallas going to do now? So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. And I think, you know, I don't think CD should get Jefferson money. I don't think he's that good, but I think he's going to push to be close to it. And maybe not as long of a contract, but one that gets him close to that guaranteed money.
Yeah, agree. I think Dallas has to sign him. So he'll get as much as he possibly can. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that, and your Ayuk comment actually plays into our second little bit of fantasy football news. Christian McCaffrey signed a two-year extension yesterday, I think it was. So the extension is $19 million a year. So then he got $24 million guaranteed. So he ended up with like an $8 million signing bonus. And the reason why this is big, two things. One, it locks McCaffrey into that team for the next couple of years. So you kind of have to have a conversation dynasty wise, does that move CMC up or down on your dynasty rankings? But also that freed up a bunch of cap space for the Niners with the way his contract was written. So now the Niners, they're currently seventh in the league for cap space with $32.7 million. So they freed up some cap space. I don't know if they use it for Ayuk.
So they're
or they just save it.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. They've got to start making some moves, right? Especially in the wide receiver area, in my opinion. I still think Debo is on the block myself, but now that they have some freed up money, how are they going to navigate that? It'll be interesting to see. That's a good sign. It's a good signing for the 49ers.
And like, how much of this money are they going to try to roll over for Purdy? Like, I know that's maybe 2 years away, you know, but like, that's got to be on their mind a little bit. Him coming up, like, he's going to have to get a decent amount of money. So.
You say decent, and the 49ers have talked about making him the highest paid quarterback. And that's that. Everybody's like, what? Yeah, we'll see.
Not a bad bag for a farm boy. But I think with the Debo conversation, it'll be interesting to see if he's on the trade block and McCaffrey's there for the next couple of years. Is it easier for them to transition McCaffrey into the Debo role, that H-back role, where they can split him out, they can make him do some of the things Debo's been doing, and then just rely on like a rookie or a team-friendly deal on a bigger back to take some of those hits away from McCaffrey?
Yep. It'll be interesting to watch it play out for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so my next little bit of news and notes, since it's the 1st of June and we're finishing up OTAs, we have mini camp next week. This section is like a smash or pass. They're real minor notes, real minor blurbs that came out of OTAs. And I just want your opinion on whether or not it's something that piques your interest, smash or pass. It's just fluff. So the first one was the Vikings have put N'Keal Harry in their tight end position. They're trying to transition into tight end one. And I think the coach said he's fired up about it. What do you think? Smash or pass on N'Keal Harry, tight end one?
Oh, man. This is past for me. This feels like Kelvin Benjamin like 5 years ago, where they're just trying to figure out what to do with this guy because, oh, man, he just burnt out so fast. Like, I mean, New England just doesn't know how to draft wide receivers, and I feel they're just trying to, I don't know, paint a pig like peacock colors and sell it as a peacock. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, I'm with Justin. This is pass. And Chance, I think I would say, of course he's excited about it because he's got nothing else. He's like, either you're going to be excited about it or you're not playing. So he has to be excited about it. I'm going to pass on it. I wish him the best. I hope he does well. You know, maybe he's somehow he just turns it around, but I'm not going to take a chance on it.
Yeah, and you know, N'Keal Harry, 6'4", 225. T.J. Hockenson is not projected to start the season because he's still dealing with that injury. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not saying I'm all in on it either, but I think there could be something there, at least for the start of the season. Smasher pass number two, Chase Claypool has looked like one of the best receivers out of Bills camp and is shining in his role there. Chase Claypool breakout season in Buffalo, smasher pass.
Did he write his own article? Did he write that? That's a pass all day long.
It's June. No. These are the things.
It just says anonymous article. Anonymous coach. Yeah,
that's right.
The biggest thing with like Claypool, like when I knew I was like he's not good, is like when the Steelers got rid of him. Like the Steelers are known for developing such good wide receivers, like that. Like they always do well in Pittsburgh, and then they get traded, like Mike Wallace or Emmanuel Sanders was kind of the difference. Like he was really good in Denver. But, like, they develop wide receivers. They just do. And, like, Chase Claypool had a decent year his first year. Then they got rid of him, man. They got rid of him for a price. And Matt probably regrets that more than anybody here. Like, they give him the 33rd overall pick for him, which is ridiculous. Like, I don't think he's the wide receiver 5-4 in that offense. There's no way. If I see people picking him up on the waiver, I'm just like, nah. No, thank you.
He's an uber talented guy. Just needs some discipline. Maybe he would have done good underneath a Belichick system or something like that with Brady back in the day. But it's just journeyman written all over him. I don't know, but I'll move fast.
Okay, my next smash or pass, real quick. And you know, I'm not hunting for Broncos news, but this is news that came across. Even my sleeper posted it. So Zach Wilson. QB1, Zach Wilson starting with the taking reps with the ones at a mini camp. That's that was the headline. Zach Wilson QB1 for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, man.
Which for me is a pass.
When I saw this, I have a bunch of friends that are BYU fans, man. Like being in Idaho, like you're surrounded by it. Like I do not like BYU. So like big shout out to my boy Josh. Like he's been a Zach Wilson. Like that's my guy. He's gonna be great. Like. I'm sorry, like Zach Wilson is, and I feel like he's an arm, like a camp arm. Like he's just there to throw the ball. Like they're probably gonna carry him as a emergency third quarterback, but there's no way he's playing over Stidham or Bo Nix. Absolutely no way. There's no way he's going to listen to what Sean Payton wants. Like, Zach Wilson is very much an ad-lib quarterback like Russell Wilson. So, like, this was ridiculous.
Now, I'm going to pass. However, I'm going to disagree with Justin a little bit. Number one, he has to take first team reps. He was a starting quarterback. He has to take it. That's just part of the backup system.
Yes, right? Starting experience of any quarterback in that room. 100%.
So, but I do think he's better than Stenham. I just think going to the Jets was the absolute worst place for him to go. Not like he was a horrible quarterback. There's no development in the Jets system. Can Sean Payton turn him around? I don't know. The kid did some good things, but overall, as far as saying, oh, he's going to be the starter, no, I'm passing on that.
Yeah, I watch and listen to a lot of Broncos reports, and all of the quarterbacks have been taking reps with the ones. It's crazy to me that on that media day, because Sean Payton doesn't allow media every day. It's like once a week he allows media in. And so on that day, Zach Wilson was running with the ones, and that's the news that got out. But I just found it so funny that it blew up everywhere. Okay, and my last one, which, like I said, I know all of these are passes, but it's funny enough. This last one is the Anthony Richardson news. So Richardson is apparently up to 255 weight-wise, which is awesome. He looks huge. He looks jacked. And that news was really exciting until today when they held him out of the last OTA for shoulder soreness. So smash or pass on Anthony Richardson's comeback season. Looking bigger, still dealing with injury.
I am in the driver's seat of this train of Anthony Richardson. Like, I am all about him. He's as big as TJ Watt. Like, he is the exact same size, which is bonkers to me. Like, I'm so ready for him to ball out. Like, I'm so excited to watch the Colts offense. Him and JT are going to be such a fun combo to watch. So I'm smashing this every day of the week. Twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I do like it. I might not be as high as Justin, but I do like it. I think, in all honesty, you can go either way on this. And the reason why I say that is we don't have enough data around it. Well, he played three games. There's not enough info there to say, yes, he's going to do it, or no, he can't. It's you just pick a side. If as far as them holding him out because of shoulder soreness, they're going to do that. Of course they're going to do that. Why would you continue to have a guy out there and go, man, my shoulder hurts. That's okay. Play through it. He's like, no, it's like, you're fine. Pull back. Let's get you right. So you're ready to go by the season. But I do like him. I think for where his ADP is, he's a guy that could be league MVP, right? The upside is huge. So I'd smash it.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I'd smash it. I'm going to give me some Anthony Richardson early, and then I'll take an insurance quarterback like Matt Stafford or Jared Goff later in my draft and be totally fine with that if something happens to Richardson. But that's all the news I got for you guys today.
Awesome. Love the news. Love the updates. Good stuff. If you like the news updates, what we're talking about, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel. Let us know how we're doing. Man, we appreciate the feedback. Leave us some comments. We'll get back to you ASAP. So. On to the next, the meat and potatoes, as we say here in Idaho, of the segment. We're going to kind of mix it up here with our burning questions. So we're going to talk about some burning questions within the division of the AFC North. Did I say it right? South, North, right? AFC North. So, and what we're going to talk about here is this next little piece. We got divisions decisions to make out of here. We've got players to talk about. Who do we like? Who do we don't like? Their ADP. And just kind of talking about their overall offense and what it looks like. So let's start off with, we talked about a little bit earlier, but let's talk about the Steelers a little bit. Justin, what do you got?
So with the Steelers, kind of wanted to start off with how they finished scoring-wise and offense-wise. So they were 25th in total offense. And again, like, they're breaking a new OC, Arthur Smith, coming over from Atlanta. They finished 25th in passing offense, 13th in rushing offense, and 27th in scoring offense. So those are kind of the key stats. So kind of some of the stuff that I'm kind of looking at is, like, how does Arthur Smith impact this offense? So with Arthur Smith, he ran 22 personnel, which is two running backs, two tight ends. I think like 72% of the time, just like an absurd amount. We were number one in the league running that stuff with Johnny and Kyle Pitts. And most of the time we just have one wide receiver on the field. And then for the Pittsburgh last year, they actually ran the last 5 years, the top five most three wide receiver sets. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that shifts. I loved Darnell Washington coming out of Georgia 2 years ago, or last year, I should say. Huge tight end, really good blocking guy. I think he'll get involved a lot. They'll have a full-time fullback, which I think probably two or three teams run a fullback consistently. We were talking about them before the show. Like, I'll be honest, there's probably only one guy that I want in this offense, and it's Pickens. And I really wish he was on a different team because I think he's that talented. This is definitely an offense that I'm probably going to try to stay away from. There's not a lot of guys that I want to buy into, but I'm going to toss over to Matt. He's going to kind of talk about ADP of specific guys.
Yeah, so I want to start off with QB because we're going to get to Pickens probably at the end here. When you look at some of the ADPs right now, so Fields and Wilson, they're going really, really close, like 170s, right, in the mix. So what are your guys' thoughts on them getting them? We don't know who the starter is. Do you like that one in the 170s? Is it worth a flyer to you in that Arthur Smith offense? Is that something you're interested in?
I'm just surprised kind of by their ADPs because Fields is going higher, correct?
Slightly.
Which is weird because Russell Wilson is the – they've already come out and say that he is the starter. So, like, Dynasty – I think Dynasty and Redraft, Fields is going higher, which is crazy. I don't know who's going to start more games. Like, Chance probably has a little bit more insight on this because he watched 30 games of Russell Wilson the past 2 years. And he could probably give a more non-bias, I guess, because his team was bad, but was it because of Russell? Like, I don't know. Like, he got most of the blame for it. Like, I don't trust Arthur Smith at all. Like, I saw him for the past 3 years, and it was rough. Like, you can't tell me we didn't have just as talented guys as Pittsburgh did. And our offense was atrocious. So, I'll toss it over to Chance. Like, he can talk about what he thinks.
Yeah, and I'm a Fields owner in Dynasty. And so I would love Justin Fields to roll in, take that job by week five, and run with it from there. But I honestly think Russell Wilson is going to be great for this offense. I know that you don't trust Arthur Smith, but I don't know if there's a coach I trust more than Mike Tomlin. Just in the NFL, as good as it gets, Mike Tomlin takes teams that you're like, there's no way this team is going to be good, and has winning records with them. Like, I just think Mike Tomlin is going to – oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to say it. I think he's going to let Russ cook. I think he's going to let him do it. And I don't want that. I don't want Russell Wilson to be good, okay? Because that just means that the Broncos organization or their team or the Sean Payton coaching was a major failure. But I just see shades of Russell Wilson's moon ball to George Pickens, absolutely crushing people. I can see him getting the ball to Roman Wilson. It's Roman Wilson. Yeah. Getting the ball to Roman Wilson like he did Lockett. Like, I think that they're going to let Russell play well. And I really hope he does okay. I didn't have any bad blood with Russell Wilson. He was corny. He was goofy. And our Broncos sucked. But I think he's going to revive his career anywhere, it's going to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think the difference compared to Arthur Smith last year and this year is the head coach for Steelers. So Arthur Smith's not the head coach. He's just OC. So he still has to answer that way. So I tend to agree with it. I don't know what to do with Fields and Wilson either. Maybe you take a late flyer on them. If they don't pan out, you can get rid of them. No big deal. But which kind of kicks us to the next question, right? So we know Arthur Smith is a running coach, right? So now you have in the Steelers, you have Najee and Warren and Patterson, which he brought with him from Atlanta. So when you look at the ADPs, Harris is in the, I just added up here. Harris is late 50s and Warren is in the late 80s. Which, what do you like there? What do you don't like?
So
Chance, go ahead. Chance, go ahead and start.
I'll just say this. A lot of the stuff that I've been listening to with OTAs towards the end of OTA stuff has come out that the new kickoff rules are really impacting how teams are building their roster, who they're getting, what they're looking for to get an edge with the new kickoff rules. And I'm as a Jalen Warren owner, I'm not afraid of Cordero Patterson taking reps out of the backfield. I honestly think he was one of the best returners in the league the last 5 years. I think they're going to use him on kickoff return more than they'll use him out of the backfield. I don't know. My eyes tell me Jalen Warren is a better running back, but I think that Najee fits this system better. I got for that backfield are hopes and dreams.
And remember, they declined Najee's fifth year. So are they going to let him go off this year, or are they just letting him work so they can re-sign him? So I don't know. Justin?
So, like, what Chance would say, like, to have some stats kind of back that up. So Arthur Smith mostly runs a predominantly outside zone scheme. The Steelers did invest in an O lineman in the first round with Amarius Mims, so it'll be interesting. They kind of have two bookend tackles, so I'm kind of curious to see where he fits. They slide one of those tackles in. They drafted Broderick Jones last year out of Georgia as well. So they have invested heavily, and I'm pretty sure they took a center, Frazier, in the second round from West Virginia. So they invested quite a bit in the O-line. But like as Chance was saying, like Najee does fit that. Like when they did run some sort of outside zone scheme with Warren and Najee, Najee averaged a whole yard better than Jalen Warren. Again, at the price where they're 30 difference, I have Najee at 59 and Warren at 89. Yep. Like that's three rounds. Like that's a pretty big gap. Like Najee feels a little bit like Miles Sanders to me. Like, does he have one good year and someone goes signs him for 3 years? Maybe. But, like, again, like, I'm not super interested in either of these guys.
Yeah, I think if you are going to get them, let them come to you, right, in the draft. Let it fall organically. Come to you. It's like, hey, you know what? This is a good spot for Najee. And if you can get Warren a little bit later and he falls to you, it's not a bad combo on your team. Best ball. You know, I know we're talking dynasty, but even in best ball drafts, it's not horrible. I think the offense is going to be better than it was last year. But Fields does play an interesting part in that running game. Makes me like, interesting. So we'll see. Moving on to tight end. Freiermuth was tight end 16, and I think he was 170. Are you guys interested in Pat Freiermuth at all here? 130 in the overall ADP.
I'll let you run with this tight end business, Lineberry. You're the tight ends guy.
I would like him. Like, again, there's so many good tight end values. Like, Freiermuth probably being a really low-end one. Like again, Arthur Smith loves tight ends. Like, he used Delanie Walker really well. He got Jonnu Smith that huge contract with the Patriots. And Jonnu did some really good stuff with us with the Falcons. I don't know how he didn't know how to use Pitts, which is super frustrating. Freiermuth is your more traditional, put your hand in the dirt. He's not like a traditional Y, like you want to split him out wide. Again, I think Washington is a sleeper because he is an athletic freak, and it's going to be hard to take him off the field when they run 22 personnel a ton, because Washington is a very efficient run blocker and should be a top five blocking tight end, where they're like, frick, man, we can't take this guy off the field. If he can catch a little bit, then I don't think it'll happen. I don't think he'll supplant Freiermuth, but I think Freiermuth will have a good season where he could potentially finish as a top 12 tight end, and that's kind of what you're looking for. If they're not top four, then they're basically a streaming option, it feels like, with tight end. But
let me ask you this. So would you rather have Cole Kmet 5 picks earlier or Pat Freiermuth?
Pat Freiermuth.
Would you rather have Pat Freiermuth or Luke Musgrave 15 picks later?
Tough.
I think I'd go Freiermuth there.
I think so too. Because I think he's the number two option. I think Freiermuth's the number two option on offense. I think that's a fair take. Cole Kmet is the fourth or fifth. Musgraves is the fourth or fifth. In a better offense, but it's tough.
Let me do one more for you. I'm just curious. I'm curious what you say. Freiermuth at 130 or Hunter Henry at 160?
Oh. I think I'd go Hunter Henry there. If I'm being honest, I'd go Hunter Henry there.
I tend to agree, just because he's going to be a big target in that offense.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, so. I'd probably go Henry. Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Let's jump over to the Steelers wide receivers. Just want to bring up that because we do have Pickens, Van Jefferson, Roman Wilson, two of those guys you touched on. Looking at their ADP, let's see here. Pickens is at 61. And I bet those other two are going to be very, very late.
Very low. Very late.
180s, I see Roman Wilson, and Van Jefferson's probably later than that. Any interest in anybody other than Pickens in that wide receiver core?
No, miss me on all the wide receivers. I mean, it's Pickens, Najee Warren, your choice, and then Freiermuth. And those are really the only weapons that I want, the only assets out of that I want. And I think this is one of those teams that we will know so much more about this team in August than we do now. Like, I think things are really going to shape up. I think they could still trade for a wide receiver. Like, having Pickens as a wide receiver one for me is terrifying on my dynasty teams because I think he's a stud. I think he's so good. I don't know if they think that.
Yeah, scheme is everything, but go ahead, Justin.
Like, every time I think of Pickens, like, I almost think of Chris Olave. Like, I know they're totally different players, but it's like, man, if they had a better quarterback and a better system, man, they would be so fun to watch. But just for reference, like, I think a lot of people are going back to, like, well, when Arthur Smith was an OC, or, like, he was bad because he was a head coach and an OC, like, only – so he was OC in Tennessee for 3 years, from 2016 to 2018. I don't think he ever – let's see. I just want to double-check this. He had one season – where they had a 1,000-yard receiver, which is crazy to me. And one of the times their tight end led them in yards, which was Delanie Walker. Like, I'm a big Delanie Walker guy. He was fun to watch because he was that H-back and, like, he did a lot of stuff. But, like, they weren't throwing to anybody crazy good. But, like I said, they're going to run the ball a ton. And, man, like, I just wish George Pickens was on a different team. Because I think he's a 1,400, 1,500-yard receiver, and I still think he's going to happen in this offense.
So let me give you guys a couple picks here. So George Pickens, 61 overall. T. Higgins, George Pickens.
Higgins.
For Dynasty, I got to go Higgins.
Okay. Pickens or Terry McLaurin?
Terry.
And this is so, yeah, Terry McLaurin, 66. Pickens is 61 currently.
I think I'd still go Pickens there. I still think that, like you said, Pickens would be fun on another team, and I think that he's still going to have that opportunity where I don't think Scary Terry, he'll be good this year, I believe so, but I don't see a future for him to continue to thrive in, you know, dynasty-wise moving forward.
I get that.
Two other guys here real quick. I'm just going to throw this out there just because a lot of names have been kicked around, but George Pickens at 61 or Tank Dell at 69?
Oh, give me Tank!
Oh, Tank Dell. 69, nice.
So yeah, so you're getting him. That's what I'm saying. You're getting him at a better value.
I'm right behind. Like, if there's a line for take down trade, I'm right behind Chance because he pulled me in.
Oh gosh, yeah. Love to have them both on my dynasty team, baby.
So one more here: Zay Flowers at 54 or Pickens at 61.
Zay Flowers. I like him a lot.
I like him a lot. I know Russ is going to throw the ball, and I haven't seen that from Lamar as much. I think I go Pickens there.
Fair enough. Yeah.
He's got that emotional attachment.
It's okay. Yep. I got Zay Flowers as my guy. I'd probably go Zay here myself. But
I like Zay.
Cool. Well, let's jump over to the Browns. Let's talk about them. The Browns.
All right.
We'll see how this goes. What do we got, Justin?
Gosh. Oh man, this is gonna be hard to talk about. I think Chance knows how I feel about this team. So 16th best total offense, 19th in passing, 12th in rushing, and 10th in scoring. So top 10 offense. Like if you want the numbers that you want to look at for offense, like it's always scoring offense because that's the best thing. I think that number is a little inflated because their defense is always really, really good, coached up really well. So, like, they have a very, very good O-line. Like, top three. They always have 2 to 3 Pro Bowlers. Wyatt Teller's a dog. Like, Joe Bitonio's a dog. Like, they just have a really good O-line. Like, I feel like they've always had a good O-line. The biggest thing about this offense, I feel like they have a lot of good key cogs. I think, I don't know if Chubb's coming back. I don't mind Ford, Cooper, and Joku. Like, they have a lot of good stuff. But the engine that runs your offense is your quarterback, and I hate their quarterback. So,
fair enough, Justin. Let's segue right into the quarterback position of the Browns. So Watson is their quarterback. He is ADP is at 134, QB 21. Mind you, they did bring in a whole slew of quarterbacks in the offseason, including Winston and a bunch of others. So it kind of makes me worry a little bit. But we're hearing good things out of camp. I think you hear that at every camp right now. He seems to be better. He's locked in. He's ready to go. Value there at 134 for you guys?
I think so. I think if he can return to form. Like, it wasn't that many years ago that we were talking about Deshaun Watson as a perennial top five quarterback. Like, in Dynasty, he was that guy, and he had such a bright future. And off-field stuff aside, I think we're going to find out if he wants to play football this year or not. You know, like, that's it. How much is his heart to do it? And we're gonna find that out this year.
No, I agree, Justin.
I'm not touching with 10 football. So, like, one of my favorite podcasts and, like, one of my favorite segments that they do is, so Chris Sims does a top 40 countdown every year of all the best quarterbacks that he thinks. And Watson was down there, like, 24 or something. And one question that he asked that I thought was pretty relevant was, did they not sign Joe Flacco because Deshaun Watson felt threatened by him? Like, Joe Flacco was a 39-year-old quarterback. He balled out. Like, he played very well, but he threw a ton of interceptions. So, like, that kind of makes me question things like, did he feel threatened a little bit that he lost that locker room because Joe Flacco was balling out? And, like, I don't know. Like, I think he lost whatever he did have, like Chance was saying. Like, he was so good in Houston. So good, like, right away with Hopkins. Like, and I think he lost it. Like, I think he lost whatever edge he had. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have any shares in Deshaun Watson, and I never will.
Fair enough. I think it's super flex. There's certain value there. Let me ask you guys, Stafford at 116 or Watson at 134?
It's Stafford.
Stafford.
Okay. That was an easy slam dunk. Yeah. Later, Will Levis, 152.
Oh, yeah. 134. Yeah. Give me mayonnaise boy, baby.
Ah, dude. Give me Deshaun Watson there. Give me the upside of Deshaun Watson all day.
I'm going to reach a little bit.
I've seen Deshaun play good football. I have not seen Will Levis play good football.
Do you want Watson at 134? And I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. Let's go Bryce Young at 174.
I'm still Watson, man. I still am going to take that upside.
You know who I'm taking. I'm taking Bryce.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah,
it's not even close.
Last one. I lost my clip. Last one. Either Fields or Wilson at 175, 178, or Watson at 134.
This is so bad. Can I not take a quarterback in this league?
Limeberry, just take Deshaun one time.
Can I not take any of them? Can I take Jameis?
You're such a hater.
Yep. I'm taking Jameis.
Okay, sure. I'm just picking your brain, man. Just want to see where you'd fall. So, all right, we'll get off the Watson topic. So RB's there, Chubb, Ford, and they did sign Foreman. Again, who may be on the team this year, may not. They don't know if they'll cut him or not. So thoughts on Chubb. Do we feel he could return to form in 1 year with all that knee trauma, or it's a big stretch?
Has anyone seen his timeline? Do either of you guys have his timeline for when he should return? I thought I saw something where it wasn't looking like he was going to return or be cleared to return until mid-season this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, we're talking Dynasty here. Redraft for sure. Stay far away from Chubb, in my opinion. Even somebody coming off an ACL, like, I mean, a whole knee, really.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even touch it. everything. It was one of the most gruesome knee injuries I've seen in a long time. So if he does come back in Dynasty, I mean, maybe I can't remember if it was the same knee he did at Georgia or if it was the other knee. I don't recall. It was same knee, Justin.
Same knee.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's rough. You know, that's hard.
I really liked Jerome Ford. I thought Jerome Ford.
I was just going to go there.
He played at Alabama. He played at Cincinnati. He was a good running back. If you watch some of his cut-ups from last year, I mean, he's an elusive runner. He can be really explosive. And I'm super pumped that Deonta Foreman's been able to come back from a torn Achilles, and not a lot of running backs have done that. But I just think Jerome Ford has that backfield and the more juice out of those two guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, it feels like Deonta Foreman, like, whenever he's got the chance to be good, like, he's been super good. But the team's just like, yeah, you're going to play 1 year for us, and then we're going to not sign you again. With the Chubb stuff, like, I feel like a lot of players will say, like, I'm ready to go. Like, I'll be ready at the beginning of the season. And, like, Chubb has not said any of that. Like,
yeah.
So that kind of scares me that he probably won't play 2024. So I like Ford as, like, a guy that if you're going to bet on wide receivers and just, like, wait for a really late round running back, like, if in a redraft doing the zero RB approach, I think he's a really good pick in later rounds. I mean, Matt, can you kind of talk about his ADP? Like,
yep.
If I'm going to go heavy on wide receivers and try to get my onesies in really good spots, then I'm probably going to go him kind of late. Him and, like, Zach Moss, who we'll talk about later.
Yeah. So Justin, that's a great segue into ADPs here. So right now, even though it's unsure, Chubb's ADP is 96, so just under the 100 mark. I'm not touching Chubb at all. I'm just going to let him, if somebody else really wants to take him. You can get Ford at 128 and Foreman's at 199. And to Chance's point, to my knowledge, Deonta Foreman is the only running back to come back from an Achilles injury and have somewhat of a good career. It doesn't happen. Knees are different. They're much better medically out there to repairing knees and whatnot. They get good timelines, but Achilles injuries, it's not. And I believe Akers was one of those guys, right? Just it hasn't really returned to form.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. So, but I like it. I think if you can get Ford, he's one of our sleepers, quiet, sneaky. Nobody's going to talk about him. And Lionberry talked about already. It's one of the best O-lines in the National Football League. So I think it's worth getting him if you can. Tight ends, Njoku. Anyone have interest? And again, this deep tight end pool.
You know, go ahead, Justin. I'll save mine for the end because it kind of ties into the wide receivers also.
So Njoku's like kind of weird because like I just look at tight ends because Chance called me a tight end guy. So I was just curious, but like he finished like as the number five tight end last year. And, like, a lot of people say he did most of his damage with Joe Flacco, but most of his damage was with Deshaun Watson. So to kind of give Chance his point, like, he did really good with Deshaun Watson. But, like, right now he's being drafted as the tight end 11, I think, Matt, and overall 95.
Yeah, I have right around there, tight end 9, overall 92. But it's very close. It's very ballpark.
Which is crazy to me. Like, you just finished as the number five. He's at the age where tight ends start to – like that Travis Kelce age, it feels like they always flourish like 26, 27, 28. They're like really good. Yeah. Those like they're just late bloomers. That's just how tight ends are.
But good like, rule of thumb is 25 is when they start that 25 coming in. That's when they start to
take off. Just don't understand some of the tight ends going over. But it's just weird to me. But
yeah, and I'll talk about that. I want Chance to go ahead and give him a chance to speak on this, and we'll talk about players around him, tight ends around him.
No. And I have always loved David Njoku, man. He's such a fun player to watch. The dude's huge. He's an absolute beast of a guy. And I really hope he takes off. I think there's value in him in the tight end market as a guy who is peaking physically, peaking in his position. But again, I do think that a lot of his production was tied to Joe Flacco's desire to find him. And the same goes for Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, which we'll get to, started out really well when he was playing with Deshaun Watson and then kind of dropped off with Joe Flacco. And so I would take what's Njoku's ADP right now?
92. At least I'm in my rankings. I got a 92. Right behind him is Jake Ferguson, 93. That's what I got them at.
I would take Njoku over Ferguson. I really think Njoku, I mean, I think he has the potential to be a higher potential to be a top five tight end again than Ferguson does.
Yep. Fair enough. Well, let's bounce over to the wide receiver, the Browns wide receivers. Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, and the newly acquired Jerry Jeudy. Any interest in those three players?
I like Amari Cooper. He's a sneaky one. Like, I feel like it feels like he's been in the league for 15 years, man. Like, he's still like 29, right? I feel like he got drafted when he's like 18 years old. He's just been in there for a long time. I think he's a pretty solid starter, like, for your wide receiver two, your flex. Again, if you really want to take your onesies early, like, that's usually what I try to take as my quarterback, my tight end early, just because I want that advantage. And he can be a good filler of the roster.
Yeah, like I said, he really thrived with Deshaun Watson throwing the ball to him. And it's all he's ever done. With the Raiders, he was good. With the Cowboys, he was good. With the Browns, he's been good. You know, people just sleep on him because it feels like he's been around forever. Amari Cooper, sheesh, he seems like he's been in the league, like Justin said, forever. But I think he's a good, sneaky wide receiver, a high up wide receiver too for me.
Yeah, low end one, high end two. His ADP is 49, going in at wide receiver 24. You're right. I think every year people sleep on him, and this is year he's not going to do any good. He's doing good, and he gets targeted, and he does well. As far as the other two, Elijah Moore, I want nothing to do with. Jeudy, maybe he can rejuvenate his career, but I think he's clear down like one, maybe even lower than that. He's down there a ways. Elijah Moore is 243, and Jerry Jeudy was a little bit higher, probably just based on talent only. Wide receiver 56, 136. I'll let somebody else draft those two players if they're drafted at all.
Yeah, I saw a lot of really good things out of Jerry Jeudy watching him in the Broncos offense. He's explosive. His routes are crisp and phenomenal. He just wasn't targeted like I wanted him to be, like I thought he should be as the athlete he was in Denver. And if Deshaun Watson can distribute the ball the way that he used to, I think Jerry Jeudy has a ton of upside. But again, not on my team.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, and I think you know this, Chance, Jeudy was a yards guy and not much of a touchdown guy.
Yeah.
Right. Sutton seemed to get all the touchdowns and Jeudy just got the yards and it wasn't that many. But anyway, yep. That's our guy. We're all high on Cooper as that low end one, high end two. Go get him at his ADP. Let's jump over the Bengals, Justin. What do you got for us?
All right. Bengals, they're 22nd in total offense, 15th in passing offense, 31st in rushing offense, which is crazy to me. And then 16th in scoring offense. Again, you can kind of see like their scoring offense was middle of the pack. Like their rushing offense was non-existent. I think the biggest question for me, and it feels like this has been a theme for this team, is can this offense stay healthy? Can Burrow and Chase just put together 17 games together? What is it going to be between Chase Brown and Zach Moss? Like who's going to be the guy? I think all three of us had Chase as our number one guy when we did our top 30. I love him. I think he's the most alpha wide receiver. He's probably going to be the one that breaks Justin Jefferson's record. Again, when we were talking about Ford, I love Zach Moss, and Chase Brown is your zero RB. Kind of look at them. It'll be interesting to see what they do with O-line. They did draft an O-lineman and kind of see where they put him. So.
Fair enough. So we'll jump right in the quarterback Burrow. Everybody knows Joe Burrow. He's overall 58 QB7. Thoughts on that? Chance, we'll start with you.
And I think for me, Joe Burrow is a lot like Anthony Richardson that we talked about earlier. I will take him where he's at. I think he's going to be great. I think he's an absolute baller. Joe Cool. But I'm 100% going to draft a quarterback that I think, like an older quarterback or one with much lower ADP, just so that I have that insurance policy, because he just struggles to finish seasons. And I love him because he's the Chiefs kryptonite. You know, that's my guy. But Yeah, I'll take him for the upside. I think he's a stud. I just, yeah, I'm so worried about his injury history.
Yep. That's why I kind of agree. Like, I traded for him in our dynasty league that me and Matt are in. I feel like I gave up a ton. But again, he's only ever played two full seasons, so he's only ever played half of them in his 4 years. But I mean, those 2 seasons, 4,600 yards, 4,400 yards, 34 touchdowns, 35 touchdowns, like, that's kind of what you need from a non-running quarterback. Like, and he just got a bunch of weapons. Like, I love Jermaine Burton. I think he's going to be a stud in that offense with their three wide receiver sets. If they do eventually get rid of T, like, I think he's going to kill in that offense. He was such a good player with Alabama and with Georgia when he transferred. I love the passing offense. The rushing offense does scare me because, as you can see, they're 31st in rushing offense, which is a little scary.
Yep. No, I agree with you guys. I'll go with Burrow that late. You're telling me I can get him close to the fifth, sixth round? Okay. Yeah. Yep. That's easy. That's an easy plug and play for me on an offense that's pretty potent. It's a good segue, Justin, to the RBs. Well, let's talk about them. So we have kind of the two, the newly acquired Moss and Chase Brown. Give me your thoughts on who's going to start that. Is that a committee? What are we doing here?
I feel like Chance is the guy with Zach Moss and Chase Brown, so I'll let him go first.
I think, you know, as we talked about, like, division decisions, are you in and out, in or out for a team? I'm out on this backfield. Like, I at some point in the season, we're going to know who's good and who's not good. And I just don't know if I think Zach Moss is good. I mean, this is his third team. I know he had success with the Colts. I don't know how much that was him or the scheme. I like Chase Brown a lot, but he doesn't profile as an every down back. So I don't think he's going to get all the work that you want him to get to be effective as a weekly starter on your team. So yeah, it's kind of a tough. I'm out on this backfield. I'm out on both pieces, and I'm a Chase Brown owner. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. So this might help. So is Zach Moss is your RB 27 overall, 84, and your where to go? Chase Brown is 37 or as RB 37 overall, 115. This backfield reminds me a little bit of the Steelers backfield. Of what is it? Who's gonna be what? I don't know yet. I do think Zach Moss. Everybody doubts him, but he seems to do well when he goes there. I think we all have high hopes for Chase Brown, but we don't know. He hasn't really had an opportunity yet. So, I don't know. Am I okay with taking a gamble on him? If they fall to me, I keep saying it organically, and I'm not reaching for any of them. I'm like, okay, maybe I already have two good starting running backs, and Zach Moss is sitting there. All right, I'll take a crack at him.
Yep. As Chance was talking about running backs, I was checking to see if Chase Brown was victim weight, but he's good. He's 211.
He's good.
So.
He's good.
Yeah, he's
good.
Not victim weight. That's the one thing he's got going for him. He's a little short, but is 211.
I would take, if I'm going to bet on one of them to pop and have some relevancy, is Chase Brown, because I think he'll get most of the receiving work. And as you can tell from the stats, like, the Bengals don't like to run the ball. Even when they're a good team, they don't like to run the ball. They like to throw the ball around. So if I'm going to bet on one, it's probably going to be Chase, because I'm going to get him a lot later, and he's probably going to get a lot of catches. So.
And speaking of
Joe Mixon was always so effective, though. Like, that's my problem with this backfield. Joe Mixon was a good fantasy running back for the Bengals. So there's some production to be had there. I don't like Joe Mixon. Every year I passed on him, he scored points, and I was like, man, I wish I would have drafted Joe Mixon.
So I had Joe Mixon for a couple of years, didn't have him last year, but Joe Mixon was a boom bust running back. He would either have nothing, and then the next week he'd have, you know, two touchdowns, and then he'd have nothing for 3 weeks, and then he goes for five touchdowns, and you're like, his consistency was horrible. It drove me crazy. And so by the end of the season, his stats looked phenomenal. You're like, man, look at his stats, and you're like, he is a fantasy football nightmare for manager nightmare, because
he's
like
he was a baseball guy for sure.
Yeah, 100%. So it'll be interesting when we get into the other teams where he landed and how that'll function out for Mixon. But I do want to jump the tight end with Do you guys even know who the tight end is for Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah. Gesicki okay. and Eric Hall.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, baby.
Gesicki is tight end 28 going at 215.
Yep.
Are you in or out on Gesicki?
I would say I think I'm in on Gesicki only because of his ADP. Like, if I miss out on guys early and I'm just taking flyers on tight ends, I'll take a flyer on a good tight end, an athletic tight end, on a explosive passing offense. And I think that's what Gesicki is on this Bengals offense.
Justin?
I'm out. I Joe Burrow doesn't throw tight ends. That's just me. Like, Gesicki, I don't know. He hasn't been good since he built the Dolphins. He was, I think he was average with the Patriots. I mean, Hunter Henry's over him. Probably not. Probably I think there's a lot better receiving options. He's probably the fourth guy in that offense. With I think he's behind Burton because I think Burton's a stud. So, and T and Chase. So I'm probably out on him.
Yeah, I'm out. I think he might even be behind Charlie Jones. Now, here's the thing. The reason why I'm out is because I thought for sure, I even drafted him in multiple teams, I thought Irv Smith Jr. would fit in that offense very good, and he did absolutely zero. Now, some of that Burrow was injured. I get that. But I'm like, you know what? I think Justin's right. I don't think they utilize their tight ends. I think they want to, and they just don't know how. And maybe they're like, okay, Irv Smith was your one-year contract. Let's bring in Gesicki. Let's see if he can do and go from there. I think for now, I'm out, but I certainly understand Chance's take that, man, he's so cheap. Why not throw a dart and see what happens? Yeah, I can get behind that too.
He's going to be a streamer. He's going to be a tight end streaming option for some teams, and he'll win them a week this season. So, I could just see it.
So two tidbits off of this. So off of Chance's point, if you take Hockenson early, this is probably a good person. You just put Hockenson on your IR, and then you just take Gesicki off your waivers. It's a good thing. Another thing, when we get to the AFC South, like, everybody talked to, I just had a tight end name in my head. Now I forgot it. Do you guys remember
his name? Chig Okonkwo.
Yeah, Okonkwo. Yeah. Like, maybe his value goes substantially down because Callahan, coming from the Bengals, going over to the Titans. Maybe he's not worth a draft pick, but just something I thought about.
Nope, that's fair. Now, speaking of passing attacks, this is one of the most potent passing attacks. Let's bounce on the wide receivers. Obviously, we have Chase, Higgins, Charlie Jones, Burton, all those in there. I think the first two is probably the most to talk about is Chase and Higgins and where they're going in their ADP. Chase is, depending on the ADP you look at it, either could be 2-3 overall. I have them at 6. Others will have them a little bit higher. And then Higgins, as I just had him here, wide receiver 28 and 60th overall. So, and we're not sure that Higgins is even going to be there. But your guys' thoughts around, I think we're all agreeing if we get an opportunity to draft Chase, we will, unless you guys tell me otherwise. But Justin, give me your thoughts.
Chase is a guy that I will never trade on my Dynasty team. He is an untouchable. You can give him infinity draft picks. I'm not trading him. Like, that's how I feel about him in Dynasty. If I have any pick in the first round of redrafts, I am taking him. He is the number one pick, no matter my Bijan love. Like, that guy is it. Chase is a different dude. T's good. Like, he's always been super consistent. I have in one league. Try to get off of it, maybe get a little bit younger, but there's just some uncertainty with him. Again, I love Burton. I'm going to take him pretty late if I can as a flyer. Just because I think he's going to do well in that offense, and I think he is the replacement for T.
Yeah, and Burton is at 198 overall. But Chance, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's. I couldn't argue with you there at all, Lineberry, about like Chase is an untouchable dynasty asset. Like, he's just a guy that there's no reason to trade him. There's no reason to move him ever off of a dynasty team, at least for the next 2-4 years. I think he's going to be that guy. I would love to get shares of Higgins. I would take more shares of T. Higgins anywhere I could get him in Dynasty, just because I think he's going to be the number one receiver on the market next year. And I just want a piece of it. He's so good.
Yeah, for sure. Do you guys know how old T. Higgins is?
He's got to be 26, 26, 25.
He's 25. He turns 26 January 18th. So he's still young. Right.
Yeah.
So I tend to agree, even if he goes to another place, he'll be good. I hope he stays with the Bengals. I really do. I think that's the best spot for him. But that's just my opinion.
The Bengals are just weird with contract negotiations. Like, as a Falcons fan, like, we lucked out last year. We got Jesse Bates at a very premium price. And Jesse Bates, in my opinion, was the best safety last year. He had 6 INTs. He had like 4 first fumbles. He had over 100 tackles. And they just let him walk because they couldn't get anything. And it seems like T. Higgins is not happy. And then Trey Hendrickson said, I'm going to retire unless you guys don't pay me because I played way above this contract. So the Bengals are just weird. Like, they just don't pay their guys, which is sad. So
yeah, which is weird because I know they picked up it'll come to me. I'll find him here. They let their number 3 go from last year. Tyler Boyd. But which he had a big contract. Titans. Titans. But he had a really big contract. So I know they freed up a ton of cap space with that. So, but we'll see. Yeah. Ravens. Let's jump over to the Ravens. Justin.
All right. Ravens were 6th in total offense, 21st in passing offense, like Chance alluded to a little bit earlier. 1st in rushing offense, though, and 4th in scoring offense. You got to love that. You got to target those top 5 scoring offenses. I love Lamar. Like, Chance is super high on him. He's probably the highest on him on all of us. And I think the thing that most people are excited for is to watch Derrick Henry in this offense. I'm so excited.
Yes. Yes.
And with the news of Keaton Mitchell, like, they already came out and said Keaton Mitchell is out the first 4 to 6 weeks. So, like, they're gonna run Henry. So I'm super excited. Zay Flowers is a guy that I think will have a breakout. I think Mark Andrews is just getting slandered this summer. He is still a top 4 tight end in Dynasty. Like, he's a dog. He's the number 1 in this offense, and it's a top 5 scoring offense.
Yeah. So let's right out of the get QB. Let's talk Lamar. Chance, why are you so high in Lamar? Why is your guy?
And I just, it's so hard to replace his rushing upside with like any of those quarterbacks that are not mobile quarterbacks that don't gain you yards on the ground. Like, Lamar Jackson is the epitome of that. And not just once or twice. Like, he's consistently been that guy on the ground. He's got a nose for the end zone, and he's still a really good passer. He's a 2-time MVP, and he's a young player. I just think it's really hard for me to give up those extra points he gets with his legs in Dynasty and redraft. I'll take those all day. And that Ravens team they are bound and determined to run the ball, and they have their quarterback to do it. And I'm a big fan.
No, I agree. I think it gets a little bit – the Ravens get a little bit of a bad rap in their passing. They still attempted nearly 500 times, right? Lamar threw for 3,700 yards, something like that. It's not 4,000.
That surprises me, honestly. That's
a decent amount, right? And I tend to agree with Justin, and we're going to talk about Zay here in a minute, but I think this will be Zay's season. But, yeah, at his ADP – he's number 4 and 39 overall. If I get 2 guys that I want, and I pick up Lamar in the 3rd, or if he slides to the 4th, yep, I will do that at that price all day. You guys said MVP caliber. Yeah, why not? Who has upside of being the number 1 guy, right? And that I do not want to be a linebacker playing against Henry and Lamar in like an RPO. Good luck. I don't. Good luck. I don't know who you'd stop. So. Anyway,
and like, one thing to that point, like, I feel like you guys are saying, like, people get that gray area, like, real football and fantasy football. Like, there is so many advantageous spots where a quarterback running the ball, because you get one more blocker. Of course they're going to run the ball. And, like, they drafted another lineman. They drafted Washington's right tackle. It's like, we're just going to keep being bullies. So, yep. I love it.
And I do think that I think Lamar is also going to throw the ball a little more to Henry than what people realize. I think Henry's going to catch some passes too, but we'll see how it goes. That backfield, I think really there's just only one. It's Henry. That's it. Thoughts on Henry? I believe his ADP is pretty number 11, 32 overall. You want him?
Oh,
yes.
I listen. I want to win trophies. I want to win trophies. I want to win rings. I want to win the things that you win in fantasy football. And if I'm going to do that, I want Derrick Henry on my team to do that. I think he's just going to continue to eat. And I don't know when that age cliff happens, but I will ride him off of that age cliff just like the Ravens are going to.
Justin?
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to ride him until the wheels fall off. I'm all about it. If he's a running back 11, yeah. Give me that all day.
The 28 is the I wanted to look up his age real fast. So he's 30 years old. Typically, running backs start to decline at 28. I think we kind of got that as just a rule of thumb. But Derrick Henry built different. He's different. Okay, this guy is massive. He's in. You know, you got to remember his early years. He had very low tread. He didn't get used a lot like he did later on. He's got, you know, this year, if not one more year in that, we'll see a decline for sure. But he's determined to win a ring. He wanted to go to Dallas. They didn't even give him a phone call. He ends up on the Ravens. He's like, this team was just a few plays short of going to the Super Bowl. Like they want it. And wow, what a big boost for them. And Henry's like, yeah, I'll be a part of it. I'll take shares of him all day long at that ADP.
Yes, sir.
Tight end Andrews. How are we feeling about Mark Andrews for the Ravens?
Man, I just don't understand why he's being drafted so low. Matt, you could probably tell us his ADP a little bit later, yep. But like it is just too low for me. Like there's no reason he shouldn't be second or third tight end. Like I get the McBride love, I get the Sam Laporta love, Travis Kelce, get a Travis Kelce, but like Mark Andrews is the number one target in this offense, and they're the fourth scoring offense. Like you're probably gonna get him for a bargain. I get that he got hurt with the hip drop tackle, all that stuff. But man, every time I've had him on my dynasty league, man, he's just so consistent. Like I know I'm gonna get good points out of him. So.
Yeah, I think he's one of he's a top guy in one of those one off positions that you need that advantage in. And I'm sure his ADP is going to make him. What is ADP? Did you say?
So yeah, his ADP. He's tight end number four going off ADP of 50. He's going about six spots behind Trey McBride.
Yeah, and I'd take him over Trey McBride. I would. I do want to shout out Isaiah Likely. I've been a big fan of Isaiah Likely since he played for Coastal Carolina. Go Chanticleers. But I don't know. I don't know why you don't know that line, Barry. I think he's a stud, and I think that if you can get him in Dynasty, he's a good get too, because he is just another one of those track team guys that the Ravens just have. They just have guys who are big and fast and athletic, and I think if Mark Andrews can stay healthy, I still think Isaiah Likely worked himself a role in the offense last year.
Yeah, Likely's been a good fill-in, right, for him when Andrews went down. That was a good pickup. I'm going to ask you guys, how old is Mark Andrews? Do you guys know how old he is?
26?
He's 28. He'll turn 29 in September. The thing is, I think he's been in the league a decent amount of time. He's been good, but he's been injured. And I think what people view him, why he may fall a little bit, is he's been injured and he's deemed as old. And I'm telling you, tight ends are not old. They tend to last a little longer than what your running backs do, right? And maybe not as long as wide receivers, but he still has a good couple of years left easy, and he's productive. He stays healthy. He's uber productive. I mean, Kelsey's 32. I know he's not Kelce, but you see, my point being is you can be a little older at the tight end position. Yeah. So I would get shares of him. Let me ask you guys, so you can get – we already kind of talked about McBride at 44, but would you rather have Andrews at 50 or Dalton Kincaid at 53?
That's tough.
Oh yeah, that's
they're very close, right? They're right there. But one you know, one you're hoping you think is going to get there, take that next step.
I think I'd go Mark Andrews. I think I would go Mark Andrews there.
Am I crazy for saying Kincaid?
You're not crazy. No,
they're really close. No, not at all.
I just think he's number one, but we'll get to him later. But sheesh.
This next one is for Limeberry.
I know who it is.
Yes, you do. Mark Andrews at 50, or do you wait till 64 and get Kyle Pitts?
Yep. I'm a Pitts guy.
I know you are.
I'm gonna go off till I'm wrong. I'm Pitts. I'm Pitty City, baby.
You've been wrong for a lot of years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love pity. What do you say? What is it, Chance? Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm Mark Andrews all day. I'm Mark Andrews all day.
I thought you were gonna say it.
I think when you, yeah, I'd probably go and lead Andrews if I have the opportunity in the right spot. But you look at these top, I'm gonna say six tight ends. Is where I'm gonna go with this. Pitts, Kincaid, Andrews, McBride, Kelce, and Laporta. Any one of those tight ends could be tight end one.
Yeah, they all could.
You know, it's so close, and it just depends on if they stay healthy. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Again, don't reach on your guy. This is my advice. Don't reach. Let it fall organically. You know, if you sometimes you got to reach a little bit if you're trying to do some stuff, but don't overreach. You know, don't, you're not taking Pitts the overall number one pick. Only line barrier would do that. So don't do that is what I'm getting at. So wide receivers. We talked a little bit about these guys a little bit with Flowers, Bateman, and Aguilar. Who do you like in out of those three in general? And I'll get you their ADP here in just a second.
Library, I'll let you take this one, man. I feel the same way about the Ravens receivers as I do about the Bengals running backs. Give me really? Everyone else can take him.
I do like Zay Flowers a lot. I think he flashed a lot last year. Rashad Bateman kind of has been the same old story year in and year out. It's like he's getting a bunch of hype. Like it feels like J-Mo. Like every summer he gets a bunch of hype and then does nothing. Every year gets a bunch. Oh, he looks a lot better this year. It's like, all right, like, I've fallen for this one too many times, and they're not a Falcon, so I can't fall for it too many times. So I think Zay Flowers can be good. Again, I don't think any of them will be the one option. I think Mark Andrews has a pretty good stranglehold on that, but I think Zay Flowers can be a pretty valuable wide receiver too in that offense.
I think at ADP, I'm going to go Rashad Bateman. I'll play devil's advocate here. I think we're spoiled on rookie receivers coming in and being uber productive as rookies, as second year players. Like it used to be where receivers took time to develop and they needed a couple of years before they really were hit the ground running. And I think that Rashad Bateman has every opportunity for that to still be the case, where Rashad Bateman was great coming out of Minnesota. He was an awesome prospect. And I really think that he could be the guy who is the one as far as receivers go. So I think between those three, I like Rashad Bateman probably as AP more than I would say Flowers.
Yeah.
So let's just get Flowers victim weight.
Yeah.
I think most of them are victim weight.
That Zay Flowers 26th overall, going at 54, and yeah, Bateman's way down there. I just signed a second ago, but 194 overall, 77. And I think all of us, Aguilar is not even on the radar, but Bateman's way down there. You're right, Justin. He's kind of the same old song and dance. Everybody's hoping. I wanted to pull up real fast. Let me pull it up because Zay Flowers got more targets than what people realize. And there's like, well, he didn't get, you know, he's still developing. Let me see if I can find it here. He had quite a few, targets. So again, he had over 100 targets. He only had 800 some yards, but he had 100 targets, right? So that's a lot. He's clearly the wide receiver one, not necessarily, you know, the Mark Andrews is probably the one, but as far as wide receivers go, he is that wide receiver. And he's got a whole year of experience underneath him. I think they trust him more. The kid's fast, uber talented. I think they'll utilize him. Now, bear with me here. People are going to want to stop the run with Henry. That's going to give Zay opportunities to one-on-one matchups. So I do like the upside at the ADP spot. I think that's my only rub a little bit. I think he's a little too high. I would love to have a little bit better bargain on that at 54. I'd love to see him a little like a round later or two. So if he drops, I'll snag him. Or if there's somebody I don't want around there, give you an example. Do you want Zay Flowers or Amari Cooper? Do you want Zay Flowers or Pickens? Do you want Zay Flowers or Terry McLaurin? Do you kind of see where I'm getting? Zay Flowers, Tank Dell. I'm like, I want you to drop a little bit. You're too high.
Yeah, I get that.
I would take all those guys over Zay. I take all of them over Zay.
I agree. Chance, a question for you. How many targets do you think Rashad Bateman had last year?
Oh, 75.
Was he healthy?
56.
Yeah.
56.
That's crazy. Right. 56.
How many games did he play though? Was he injured?
He played 16 games.
He played all games. Yeah.
16 games.
It's just wild. It's just Bateman. You know, gosh, you do have high hopes for the guy, but he doesn't get there. But
it's tough.
Well, shoot, guy, that is the AFC North breakdown. Final thoughts, guys, that you know, final thoughts on any of these teams. Just somebody go get this guy at his ADP. Justin, I'll start with you. And really anything.
This division was hard. I feel like the most intriguing team is the Steelers. Like I just feel like they have a lot of question marks. And like Chance said, like we're not going to know what this team is offensive wise until August. So hopefully we get more feedback with them. Like I feel like the Ravens are the team to beat. Like that's my call. I think they're going to win the division. I think two teams probably come out of this division. I think it's the Ravens and the Bengals, just because I think they have the most talent, and I don't trust Deshaun Watson as far as I can throw him. So that's my breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, I love this division. I love how competitive it is, and I love that it always produces fantasy assets. Man, spend up for Lamar. That's my thing, man. Spend up for Lamar. I don't think you're going to, you know, I don't think you're going to regret taking him at his ADP even a little bit.
Yep.
The only quarterback I'd say that about.
From a running back quarterback standpoint, and I'll leave it at this, do not be surprised if the best running back combo in the league is not Lamar Jackson and Henry. Watch them the best 1-2 combo in the league. So,
yes.
Well, shoot. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. That's going to end it for us, the 208 Fantasy Football Show. Again, hit that like button, subscribe to us, leave a comment. We want to answer your questions. We want you to win your league. It's all about those bragging rights. And just hopefully you enjoyed the show. And sign off from there, fellas. Have a great day or a great evening, and we'll see you next time.